Gauloise cigarettes and watch the sun go down. Page 79. And Sibin once said that when she felt depressed or sad, she would close her eyes and she would imagine that she was staying in a house on Cape Cod with her friend Ellie, and they would take a trip on a boat from Provincetown and go out into the bay to watch the humpback whales, and that made her feel calm and peaceful and happy. And sometimes when someone has died like Mother died, people say, "What would you want to say to your mother if she was here now?" Or, "What would your mother think about that?" Which is stupid because Mother is dead and you can't say anything to people who are dead, and dead people can't think. And Grandmother has pictures in her head too, but her pictures are all confused, like someone has muddled the film up and she can't tell what happened in what order, so she thinks that dead people are still alive, and she doesn't know whether something happened in real life or whether it happened on television. 127. When I got home from school, Father was still out at work, so I unlocked the front door and went inside and took my coat off. I went into the kitchen and put my things on the table, and one of the things was this book which I had taken into school to show to Sibin. I made myself a raspberry milkshake and heated it up in the microwave, and then went through to the living room to watch one of my Blue Planet videos about life in the deepest parts of the ocean. Page 80. The video was about the sea creatures who live around sulfur chimneys, which are underwater volcanoes where gases are ejected from the Earth's crust into the water. Scientists never expected there to be any living organisms there because it was so hot and so poisonous, but there are whole ecosystems there. I like this bit because it shows you that there is always something new that science can discover, and all the facts that you take for granted can be completely wrong. And also, I like the fact that they are filming in a place which is harder to get to than the top of Mount Everest, but is only a few miles away from sea level. And it is one of the quietest and darkest and most secret places on the surface of the Earth. And I like imagining that I am there sometimes, in a spherical metal submersible, with windows that are 30 centimeters thick, to stop them from imploding under the pressure. And I imagine that I am the only person inside it, and that it is not connected to a ship at all, but can operate under its own power, and I can control the motors and move anywhere I want to on the seabed, and I can never be found. Father came home at 5:48 p.m. I heard him come through the front door. Then he came into the living room. He was wearing a lime green and sky blue check shirt, and there was a double knot on one of his shoes, but not on the other. He was carrying an old advert for Fusel's milk powder, which was made of metal and painted with blue and white enamel and covered with little circles of rust, which were like bullet holes, but he didn't explain why he was carrying this. He said, "Howdy, partner," which is a joke he does, and I said, "Hello." I carried on watching the video, and Father went into the kitchen. I had forgotten that I had left my book lying on the kitchen table because I was too interested in the Blue Planet video. Page 81. This is what is called relaxing your guard, and it is what you must never do if you are a detective. It was 5:54 p.m. when Father came back into the living room. He said, "What is this?" But he said it very quietly, and I didn't realize that he was angry because he wasn't shouting. He was holding the book in his right hand. I said, "It's a book I'm writing." And he said, "Is this true? Did you talk to Mrs. Alexander?" He said this very quietly as well, so I still didn't realize that he was angry, and I said, "Yes." Then he said, "Holy fucking Jesus, Christopher, how stupid are you?" This is what Sibin says is called a rhetorical question. It has a question mark at the end, but you are not meant to answer it, because the person who is asking it already knows the answer. It is difficult to spot a rhetorical question. Then Father said, "What the fuck did I tell you, Christopher?" This was much louder, and I replied, "Not to mention Mr. Shear's name in our house, and not to go asking Mrs. Shear's or anyone about who killed that bloody dog, and not to go trespassing in other people's gardens, and to stop this ridiculous bloody detective game." Except I haven't done any of those things. I just asked Mrs. Alexander about Mr. Shears because... But Father interrupted me and said, "Don't give me that bollocks, you little shit. You knew exactly what you were bloody doing. I've read the book, remember?" And when he said this, he held up the book and shook it. "What else did I say, Christopher?" I thought that this might be another rhetorical question, but I wasn't sure. Page 82. I found it hard to work out what to say because I was starting to get scared and confused. Then Father repeated the question, "What else did I say, Christopher?" I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Come on, you're the fucking memory man." But I couldn't think. And Father said, "Not to go around sticking your fucking nose into other people's business. And what do? You go around sticking your nose into other people's business. You go around raking up the past and sharing it with every Tom, Dick, and Harry you bump into. What am I going to do with you, Christopher? What the fuck am I going to do with you?" I said I was just doing chatting with Mrs. Alexander. I wasn't doing investigating. And he said, "I ask you to do one thing for me, Christopher. One thing." And I said, "I didn't want to talk to Mrs. Alexander. It was Mrs. Alexander who..." But Father interrupted me and grabbed hold of my arm really hard. Father had never grabbed hold of me like that before. Mother had hit me sometimes because she was a very hot-tempered person, which means that she got angry more quickly than other people and she shouted more often. But Father was a more level-headed person, which means he didn't get angry as quickly and he didn't shout as often. So I was very surprised when he grabbed me. I don't like it when people grab me, and I don't like being surprised either, so I hit him, like I hit the policeman when he took hold of my arms and lifted me onto my feet. Page 83. But Father didn't let go, and he was shouting, and I hit him again, and then I didn't know what I was doing anymore. I had no memories for a short while. I know it was a short while because I checked my watch afterward. It was like someone had switched me off and then switched me on again. And when they switched me on again, I was sitting on the carpet with my back against the wall, and there was blood on my right hand, and the side of my head was hurting. And Father was standing on the carpet a meter in front of me, looking down at me, and he was still holding my book in his right hand. But it was bent in half, and all the corners were messed up. And there was a scratch on his neck and a big rip in the sleeve of his green and blue check shirt, and he was breathing really deeply. After about a minute, he turned and walked through to the kitchen. Then he unlocked the back door into the garden and went outside. I heard him lift the lid of the dustbin and drop something into it and put the lid of the dustbin back on. Then he came into the kitchen again, but he wasn't carrying the book anymore. Then he locked the back door again and put the key into the little china jug that is shaped like a fat man, and he stood in the middle of the kitchen and closed his eyes. Then he opened his eyes and he said, "I need a fucking drink." And he got himself a can of beer. 131. These are some of the reasons why I hate yellow and brown. Page 84. Yellow. 1. Custard. 2. Bananas. In parentheses, bananas also turn brown. 3. Double yellow lines. 4. Yellow fever, which is a disease from tropical America and West Africa, which causes a high fever, acute nephritis, jaundice, and hemorrhages. And it is caused by a virus transmitted by the bite of a mosquito called Aedes aegypti, and that is spelled A-E-D-E-S. A-E-G-Y-P-T-I, which used to be called Stegomyia fasciata, S-T-E-G-O-M-Y-I-A, F-A-S-C-I-A-T-A, and nephritis is inflammation of the kidneys. 5. Yellow flowers, because I get hay fever from flower pollen, which is one of 3 sorts of hay fever, and the others are from grass pollen and fungus pollen, and it makes me feel ill. 6. Sweet corn, because it comes out in your poo and you don't digest it, so you are not really meant to eat it like grass or leaves. Brown. 1. Dirt. 2. Gravy. 3. Poo. 4. Wood, because people used to make machines and vehicles out of wood, but they don't anymore because wood breaks and goes rotten and has worms in it sometimes, and now people make machines and vehicles out of metal and plastic, which are much better and more modern. page 85. 5. Melissa Brown, who is a girl at school who is not actually brown like Anil or Muhammad. It's just her name. But she tore my big astronaut painting into two pieces, and I threw it away even after Mrs. Peters sellotaped it together again because it looked broken. Mrs. Forbes said that hating yellow and brown is just being silly, and Sybin said that she shouldn't say things like that, and everyone has favorite colors. And Sybin was right, but Mrs. Forbes was a bit right too, because it is sort of being silly, but in life you have to take lots of decisions, and if you don't take decisions, you would never do anything because you would spend all your time choosing between things you could do. So it is good to have a reason why you hate some things and you like others. It is like being in a restaurant, like when Father takes me out to a Burney Inn sometimes, and you look at the menu and you have to choose what you are going to have. But you don't know if you are going to like something because you haven't tasted it yet. So you have favorite foods and you choose these. And you have foods you don't like and you don't choose these. And then it is simple. 137. The next day Father said he was sorry that he had hit me and he didn't mean to. He made me wash the cut on my cheek with Dettol to make sure that it wasn't infected. Then he got me to put a plaster on it so it didn't bleed. Then, because it was Saturday, he said he was going to take me on an expedition to show me that he was properly sorry and we were going to Twy Cross Zoo. So he made me some sandwiches with white bread and tomatoes and lettuce and ham and strawberry jam for me to eat because I don't like eating food from places I don't know. Page 86. And he said it would be okay, because there wouldn't be too many people at the zoo because it was forecast to rain, and I was glad about that because I don't like crowds of people, and I like it when it's raining. So I went and got my waterproof, which is orange. Then we drove to Twy Cross Zoo. I had never been to Twy Cross Zoo before, so I didn't have a route worked out in my mind before we got there. So we bought a guidebook from the information center, and then we walked around the whole zoo, and I decided which were my favorite animals. 1. Randy Man, which is the name of the oldest red-faced black spider monkey, Ateles paniscus paniscus, which is spelled A-T-E-L-E-S-P-A-N-I-S-C-U-S-P-A-N-I-S-C-U-S, ever kept in captivity. Randy Man is 44 years old, which is the same age as Father. He used to be a pet on a ship and have a metal band round his stomach, like in a story about pirates. 2. The Patagonian sea lions, which are called Miracle and Star. 3. Malaku, which is an orangutan. I liked it especially because it was lying in a kind of hammock made out of a pair of stripy green pajama bottoms, and on the blue plastic notice next to the cage, it said it made the hammock itself. Then we went to the cafe, and Father had place and chips and apple pie and ice cream and a pot of Earl Grey tea, and I had my sandwiches, and I read the guidebook to the zoo. And Father said, "I love you very much, Christopher. Don't ever forget that. And I know I lose my rag occasionally. I know I get angry. I know I shout. And I know I shouldn't." Page 87. "But I only do it because I worry about you, because I don't want to see you getting into trouble, because I don't want you to get hurt. Do you understand?" I didn't know whether I understood, so I said, "I don't know." And Father said, "Christopher, do you understand that I love you?" And I said, "Yes, because loving someone is helping them when they get into trouble, and looking after them, and telling them the truth. And Father looks after me when I get into trouble, like coming to the police station, and he looks after me by cooking meals for me, and he always tells me the truth, which means that he loves me." And then he held up his right hand and spread his fingers out in a fan, and I held up my left hand and spread my fingers out in a fan, and we made our fingers and thumbs touch each other. Then I got out a piece of paper from my bag, and I did a map of the zoo from memory as a test. The map was like this. The map has the names of the various animals that he saw at the zoo with lines connecting them to the part of the zoo where they were. We'll start and go clockwise at the top. Birds, sea lions, small monkeys, seals, big monkeys, penguins, orangutans, gibbons, Then langurs, footnote 11, the langur is the Entellus monkey. Tigers, lions, bonobos, and doles, the footnote 10, and it reads, the dole is the Indian wild dog, and it looks like a fox. Then lemurs, chimps, gorillas, giraffes, and elephants. Text.